My boyfriend's ex-girlfriend, Rosemary, has the same thickness to her eyebrows as I do. The same wavy auburn hair and pear-shaped hips. I'm standing across the street from her office, in a chunky maroon sweater and sunglasses, watching her leave. I want to know if she's the type who heads out at 5 for a gym class or a happy hour, or the type to send emails until 8, adrift in a sea of empty desks. Watching her exit the building at 6:35 p.m., I've now discovered she's neither. I note the New Yorker tote bag she carries, which to me suggests unoriginality, conformity. She crosses the four-lane street with only 2 seconds left on the crosswalk's countdown. Cars honk. She pops a breath mint. I know it's a mint because I stand close to her on the Fulton subway platform and breathe it in. I resist the urge to touch her, to see if she dissolves. Up close, Rosemary looks different from her Instagram photos. She must use a variety of filters, excessive shadow and saturation. She has a flatter stomach than I do, but much smaller breasts. Smooth and glowing skin, but a square and masculine jaw. In the pictures I've seen, she presses her lips together rather than flashing all her teeth as I do. But now, finally, I have a rare glimpse of her teeth. The canines are jagged, protruding like fangs. This might mean I'm prettier than Rosemary, but who knows? Maybe her vampiric teeth appealed to Caleb. On the train, when she shoves tiny white AirPods into her ears, I mimic her with my bulky noise-canceling headphones. Even though seats are available, Rosemary leans against the door and closes her eyes and taps her feet. I prefer to stand too, but only ever with my eyes open. Hidden behind dark, oversized sunglasses, similar to the kind celebrities wear when evading paparazzi, I'm able to hold prolonged and one-sided eye contact with strangers. Successful surveillance relies on anonymity. A platoon of bodies in two-piece business suits shoves into the train at Wall Street, and those huddled near the door squeeze closer together. Despite October's cold snap, the subway cars aren't heated yet. I manage, in the scuffle, to stand next to Rosemary. When the sleeve of my sweater grazes her denim-jacketed elbow, I wonder if we'll look at each other. But her gaze never rises. Being 2 inches taller proves advantageous. I'm able to peer at her screen as she scrolls through artists, albums, finally settling on Hiatus Coyote's Breathing Underwater. With a twinge of discomfort, I realize Caleb, my boyfriend, her ex, has blasted this song every time we've cooked together the past few weeks, chopping onions to the smash of a cymbal. Next, I observe Rosemary tweet about a novel she edited, which was apparently reviewed in the New York Times. She deletes and rephrases so many times that I'm tempted to rip the phone from her hands. "I know you're aiming for pride and humility," I'll say. "Let me." I study her face until she exits at Atlantic Avenue near Brooklyn's Fort Greene neighborhood. I follow her. She walks down the street, takes a left, a right, then punches in a code to enter a modern industrial chic building with floor-to-ceiling glass windows. It's an eyesore among the quaint brownstones. I can't follow anymore. I go, instead, to a beer garden a few blocks away, order a pretzel the size of my face, drink seasonal beer that tastes of banana bread. Then I call Caleb and ask if he wants to meet me here. "Where?" he asks. I cover the mouthpiece and ask the bartender to tell me where I am. He whispers the name of the bar and winks conspiratorially. I repeat it for Caleb. There's a decided pause. "Why are you in Fort Greene?" "I'm writing a scene that takes place here. Research." His voice softens. "Be there soon." Once our call ends, I scribble down some details. The crosswalk, the tweet, the tote bag, her denim-jacketed elbow brushing against the sleeve of my sweater. The beginnings of a book. My book. I've found, I think, a story worth telling.